Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in The American Pulse. Sometimes you meet everyday heroes just going about your day, such as the story of my guest today, who came to speak at my legislative district meeting last year to talk about the state of education and transgender ideology that has exploded in our public schools here in Washington State. The combination of dropping test scores, along with the meteoric rise of the transgender ideology and more mental illness, has, from my vantage point anyways, overrun our public schools. And let's be clear here before we proceed. I am not against some poor child who is being encouraged to question his or her biological reality. My beef is with the adults who have created and foisted these terrible ideas upon unsuspecting children and their parents who, I would imagine, must watch thunderstruck as their beautiful son or daughter start to walk a treacherous path of drugs and hormone replacement and possibly life-altering surgery. Who created this? We're going to talk about that today. My heart goes out to the trans community. Truly it does. And I think this is true for most conservatives, independents, and libertarian-minded Americans. We see what is being done, and just because we don't celebrate all things transgender does not mean we're against you. Quite the contrary. We fight on your behalf so future parents feel supported by schools and structures around them, not threatened if they don't go along with every crazy idea and legislative action put forth by people who benefit from widespread adoption of the transgender ideology. Ask yourself this: do you really think Bill Gates and Bob Ferguson and Chris Reichdahl care about the health and education of your children? If they did, why do their actions say otherwise? Don't get mad at me, I'm just asking a question here. I had the great pleasure to meet my guest, and we talked all about the state of education here in Washington. It's a bit longer than we normally do, but I think it's well worth the listen. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by the Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, the Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is David Spring. David is a retired professor, an author, a prolific writer, and a man who puts truth over ideology. Here is my interview with David Spring. Okay, I am here with David Spring, professor, author, founder of Washington Parents Network. David Spring, David, welcome to the American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Tony, thank you for having me here.
It was really great to meet you in person. You and I, you were gracious enough to take time to meet me at a library. We kicked the tires on all kinds of things, education and politics and Bill Gates and a bunch of other topics. And I just found you to be super stimulating. And I wanted to bring you on one of my shows. I wasn't quite sure which one, but I think it works better on the American Pulse. But I guess just to start with, like, just give us a little bit of a background, like what you've done, how long you taught for, kind of what's taking up your time now, where you live now.
Well, I have degrees in science education from Washington State University and a master's degree in child development from the University of Washington. I spent 20 years teaching courses at Bellevue College in Bellevue, Washington. Mm. I'm semi-retired now. Me and my wife live in Ferndale, Washington, which is near the Canadian border.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. And you, I believe, are a former Democrat as well, as am I. I was a Democrat. I was a voting Kennedy liberal for 25 years until suddenly in 2017, I was not anymore. And I guess I wanted to ask you about that. And you know, where do you consider yourself now, and kind of what had you move away from the Democrat Party?
Well, I actually was a leader in the Washington State Democratic Party. I was on the board of the Washington State Progressive Caucus. Mm-hmm. I was the East King County delegate to the King County Democratic Party Central Committee. I was the training advisor of the King County Democrats. I held several other positions in the Washington State Democratic Party. There was a number of issues, but basically the Democratic Party, the leadership, not the people of the Democratic Party, but the leadership kind of went crazy. They kind of got taken over by a guy named Bill Gates, who's like one of the richest guys in the world, him and his like supporters. And so through stuff like the Common Core thing, where they were taking like standards that were not really good in the classrooms, and there was an incident where they said that Catholics were no longer allowed. I'm not a Catholic, but I had friends who were Catholics, and so it just became basically a crazy cult. And so in the end, I just felt that they were being extremely harmful to children.
Yeah, I know. I was the same way, with a few other issues too, but that was maybe the main one. You wrote Weapons of Mass Deception, the billion-dollar takeover of our schools. I love anybody that does really sharp writing on education. You had mentioned Bill Gates's influence. Which I think many people would be surprised about, actually, unless you really go down the rabbit hole. You may not know that Bill Gates is extremely influential, but especially in Washington, where we all live, because he lives here. I think parents, before we get into the Common Core and that, because I know there's a lot of parents that just don't understand how that came about. So we'll sh just table that just for a second. But there's a lot of parents that are asking, where's all this transgender ideology coming from? And this is alarming to parents across the political spectrum. This is not a conservative concern. I'm hearing it from independent and traditional liberals are concerned about this. Where did it come from? What's driving it exactly? I think there's a little bit of dot, dot, dot and mystery around it. How did it get to be such a big deal? Who's funding it, and then who's really, kind of putting it out there? Is it Chris Ragdoll? Is it our governor? Is it, Washington seems to be a leader. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, but we seem to be, along with the other West Coast cities, big leaders in the transgender ideology.
Well, I think the two biggest leaders, actually, I don't think I know. I've written numerous articles about this on our website, which is called WashingtonParentsNetwork.com. If you just look up, like, I think it's just called Transgender Cult Information or something. Bob Ferguson, who is our current governor and used to be our attorney general, is, in my opinion, the national leader of what I call the trans drug cult. This is where they're getting kids addicted to toxic trans drugs. And then Chris Ragdoll is basically one of his biggest supporters. Washington, there is no doubt in my mind, is the national leader on this. And in my opinion, they're basically fronts for Bill Gates, who is involved with the drug industry. Bill Gates also has this kind of agenda of trying to like get rid of the population on Earth, and this is kind of like a population control thing. But the other thing is that drug companies are making like billions and even hundreds of billions of dollars by getting kids addicted to these toxic trans drugs, including puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. That the total cost over, say, a 40-year lifetime might be like a half a million to $1 million per kid. And currently in Washington State, we have about 50,000 kids that have been suckered into this trans drug cult. And you multiply that all out, and you're really talking about billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars here in Washington State alone that the taxpayers are paying right now and are going to continue to be paying due to this problem. So basically, it's like a money laundering and money making operation for drug companies. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Great point. Is that the thrust? I know you filed, Washington Parents Network filed three complaints against Chris Ragdoll and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, OSPI, and that the DOJ task force has launched an investigation. Did I get all that right?
Yeah, we launched in February of this year, February 28th, we filed a 99-page Title IX complaint. Chris Reichdahl was not complying with the plain meaning of Title IX prohibits boys from going in girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, and entitles girls to their own sports leagues. And of course, here in Washington, boys are allowed to go into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and participate in the girls' sports leagues. And that's a violation of the plain meaning of Title IX. And of course, this is like part of the transgenderism thing because they're pretending to be girls, but actually they're biological males. So that was a Title IX complaint. The Title VI complaint we filed a few weeks later more had to do with failure to comply with the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And this has to do with basically white kids being discriminated, benefiting other kids that had different colors of skins over white skins in the public schools. And then the last, so that wasn't quite transgenderism related. It was related to what's called critical race theory and DEI. And then the last one was our complaint, our FERPA complaint about parents not being told the truth. There's a federal law called FERPA that requires parents to be told the truth about their kids. That was transgenderism related because they're trying to hide these so-called transgender kids from their parents, which is not allowed under federal law. So two out of the three complaints were about that. But Pam Bondi and the task force have assured us they're going to be investigating all three of these complaints. Washington State is going to be the first state in the nation being investigated for a series of crimes rather than just one or two crimes.
Wow, that's great news. Backing up a little bit, you're one of the first people I've heard kind of do a description of Common Core. Parents, I think, I don't think parents really understood what Common Core was going into it. It was just looking at math scores. You've seen eighth grade math scores sort of gradually decline over time, and that's really kind of the marker. That kind of says, how are the schools doing? Let's look at math in eighth grade. Are they really getting these concepts? And it's been really dropping. A lot of parents, myself included, scratch their head about, well, what was wrong with the old math? What was wrong with Euclidean geometry? They use it to build, it's the backbone of building civilizations and bridges and buildings. What's the matter with that? And then I watched my own young son struggle with math, and I was very suspicious that maybe Common Core wasn't working so well for him. So I asked you about that in person. You gave me a great description of why it is such a struggle, but why is it, and why did they implement it? It looks like it's been kind of a disastrous result in if you look at the test scores, right?
Oh, it's an absolute disaster. The guy behind this, again, was Bill Gates. I don't mean to be bringing him up all the time, but he seems to be behind a lot of bad things. And what he wanted to do, he got his own learning standards, and they were called Common Core or Obama Core or whatever. But the guy who funded it, or the guy who was behind it, was Bill Gates. And I wrote about this in our book, Weapons of Mass Deception, which you can read for free online at a book website called weaponsofmassdeception.org. But at any rate, the problem was, so what Bill Gates wanted was to identify kids who were good with computer programming for Microsoft and stuff. And the way to do that is computer programming is similar to something called a geometry method called Cartesian coordinates, like X on a graph, X and Y and all that. And but that's not a good way to teach geometry for beginners. I used to actually teach seventh grade math. And generally, you want to start kids off on what Euclidean geometry, which is like real physical stuff, like bridges and balls and things like that, real objects. And most kids are concrete thinkers. They think in terms of real objects. They're not abstract thinkers. Whereas Cartesian coordinates is entirely abstract. There is no real object. You actually have to translate real objects into Cartesian coordinates and then do the math that way. But computers can't do Euclidean geometry. They basically only do Cartesian coordinates because they're all about numbers and everything. So what happened was, since kids failed at the beginning thing, they got the idea that they simply can't learn geometry. When had they started for hundreds of years, we always taught kids with the Euclidean geometry first, and then maybe 6 months later or a year later or whatever, when they were they had an understanding of geometry, then they moved over to Cartesian coordinates, some of them did, and then they can kind of continue learning that way, and then eventually they learn move into calculus and differential equations. But the unfortunately, in eliminating that beginning spot, he simply failed to understand brain development and child development. You can't just wave a magic wand and turn a kid into somebody that they're not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a disaster. In Washington State in particular, our eighth grade math scores have fallen by more than any other state in the nation. You know, we have 50 states in the nation, and we're number 50th right now. We actually used to be fifth in the nation, eighth grade math scores, and now we've kind of plunge more than any other state. And so this is an example, and part of it is related to Common Core. Another part of it is related to the trans drug cult, where they're spending all their energy and stuff sexualizing children, mm-hmm. rather than teaching them math and reading. So Washington State is definitely an example of what should not be done to kids in our schools.
So it really, you know, I get my tinfoil hat on with conspiracy stuff and say, well, they're purposely dumbing down the kids, right? They're not, they're giving them a lot of ideology, but I guess I missed maybe the factor that Bill Gates, even though he's a eugenicist and loves to see the population declined, as you know, yeah. he's said a bunch of different times in many different ways, that maybe he wants to see more computer programmers. So we're going to teach them Cartesian coordinates and that, and not being aware, to your point, of brain development. And can we go back and can, you know, like, is it impossible to basically say, look, we want to, is there any states that are saying, look, this, we don't want this Common Core. If kids are advanced and they're really great with the Cartesian abstract math, they're going to show that. You don't need to teach it to them right at the beginning. It seems like it's missing, it's taking scaffolding away from the kids that might not be computer programmers. And so they're going, to my own son's point, you know, I'm not real that good at math. And I have to tell him, look, you're a really good problem solver. I think on the math, they put Common Core in and it removed some scaffolding that would have made some of this make a lot more sense.
Right. You're 100% correct. Now, my belief is a solution to this problem. Bill Gates wanted a national curriculum that mm-hmm. he controlled.
Yeah.
And that was what Common Core is. It's not just a set of standards. It's an entire curriculum. And the what we had before that in every state, including Washington State, were local state standards. And of course, his argument is, well, if a kid moves from one state to another state, then they might have a different set of standards. The local standards are written by local teachers who best understand, like we had a committee in Washington State, this is like 10, 15 years ago before we did the transition to Common Core. And it included like math teachers from Vancouver, Seattle, Olympia, a couple other places, seventh grade math teachers. And they knew the kids. They knew where the kids were at, and they could come up with math standards and learning sequences that work for their kids. People had like a choice of different curriculum that they would use. There were people that, you know, had different opinions, but sure. It was done on a state level where all you had to do was talk the other people in your state into it, and you can kind of tweak things around. When you have this national standard that's like monolithic standard, yeah. that is basically dictated from on high, it actually is a violation of the U.S. Constitution that education is actually supposed to be a state area and not a federal area. And of course, I think Trump agrees with this, and I think that the new Department of Education, Linda McMahon, also agrees that we want to return learning standards and learning curriculum to the states. States all over the nation have been begging to get rid of Common Core, and how they're going to do that is by getting rid of the National Department of Education. And people in Washington fear, well, oh my gosh, won't that mean that we'll just have Bill Gates and the Democrats running Washington State? Well, it means that a little bit. But there will still be federal laws. For example, Title IX is a federal law that won't go away. Title IX existed before the National Department of Education existed. And also, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 existed before that too. Those laws will still protect our kids. They're not, at some point, we're not going to allow boys and girls sports because federal laws do have priority over state laws. And the fact that our state is violating these federal laws, eventually the federal government's going to win. I know Chris Reichlaw says, oh, state laws have priority over federal law, but this is absolutely not correct at all. Mm-hmm. Article 6, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution says that federal laws have priority to state laws. So eventually, the federal government is going to force Chris Reich to apply. It might take a year or two of court action, but eventually we'll be okay there. But what we do need is to have local control. In Washington State, we did used to have local control where each school district could set their own like learning standards and curriculum and stuff. And that way, the local parents have more of a say in it. This was what we were for 100 years. This is what we need to return to, where local parents control their local school districts.
I love it, David. Everything you're saying about it just makes a ton of sense, a lot of common sense. You know, you had given me your I don't want to call it a book. It's a handbook titled A Bottom-Up Plan to Elect Common Sense Candidates in Washington State. And the subtitle is Creating Community News Websites to Better Inform Independent Voters About Common Sense Issues. This is a gold mine. It's kind of – I love how it's a combination of strategy and tactics. It's both in there. Is this something that is – is it a finished product? Is this something that continues to evolve and get updated? How can parents find this and take and get it for themselves? Do you sell it? Do you give it away? How do parents get this? Because I found it to be really – it's deep, but it's also covers so much important ground for parents to understand the landscape of what's going on.
Well, what started that? We have a real problem. Bill Gates, and I hate to mention his name one more time, but he also controls the local media here in Washington State, meaning that virtually everything you hear from like the local TV programs and stuff, the newspaper, the Seattle Times, we're basically swimming in an ocean of lies here in Washington State where people don't have a clue as to what's actually happening. Chris Reichel kind of lies right and left, and Bob Ferguson does the same. And so how do we solve that problem? Well, the solution, in my opinion, so I've taught courses in technology, and what the solution is to set up common sense community news websites as alternatives. So the news is also controlled by the people in the local community. So I have a website where people can go to called createyourownsecurenewswebsite.com, and people could then just go through that program on their own. But a lot of times people kind of need some help. And so we have courses going on every 3 months. Our next course is going to be starting in July. And if any listeners would like to get involved with that, the intention is we teach them how to create a secure news website. And then we give them a shell of the news website. We have a network supporting them. And then they can post their own articles about their own school districts, their own sports teams, their own businesses, their own parks and recreations activities, and build a community. Because I think the community is the important part here. But I also think we need a way to kind of have some way to get the truth out, particularly to independent voters who decide most elections. So basically, this is a way of reaching independent voters, letting them know what's happening, whether it has to do with Common Core or the transgender drug cult or just simply what's happening in their own local sports teams and what's happening at the school board meeting or the city council meeting. And people will seek those out, and then they will go to these things. And I believe that once people know the truth, you know, it says in the Bible, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, we've got to get that truth out to people. And the only way we're going to do that these days is through these community news websites where people can literally get to the news website through their phone, through their smartphone, or through their computer, their laptop, their tablet, whatever. People are spending much more time online. And this would be a way for people to do that. And so that's, people could just contact me. My email address is on virtually all these things. It's also just davidspring@protonmail.com, and say they want to sign up for the next class, and we will sign them up for the next class. Or if they want to do it on their own, they can just go to that website and just run it through. It's a 12-week class. There's like 2 hours per week, or they could do it at their own pace. And that, but the curriculum we use is already posted online for free.
And then what's the website? What's the hub where a lot of the action is happening?
Well, our main website where all of our courses are at is called collegeintheclouds.org.
Okay.
But this is like course number 7, okay?
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
called createasecurewebsite.com. Yeah.
Okay, and then I just, before we sign out, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk. You have a family rights initiative to the people that's coming, I think, in January, and that'll be ready in for the 2026 general election. What is that going to be about so people can keep an eye out for that?
Yeah, so basically, unfortunately, our legislature passed a bill called 1296 this year, which guts the Parents' Rights Initiative. And we want to restore parents' rights and kids' rights and all this sort of stuff. So our intention is to file an initiative to the people, not to the legislature, but to the people, so we can put it on the general election ballot and let people decide. Something like 80% of all the voters are in favor of parents' rights, and they're also in favor of keeping boys out of girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, and they're in favor of fairness for girls' sports. Well, we're just putting this all together in one initiative. We're trying to build a movement right now because we're going to need to gather 400,000 signatures for it in January through June of next year. And if we can do that, it will be on the 2026 general election ballot here in Washington State. And again, we posted all kinds of articles about this on our website, WashingtonParentsNetwork.com. If they click on family rights, they would be able to learn more about it.
Beautiful. David, thank you so much for coming on the American Pulse. I love everything you're doing. You're a true story of grassroots and a warrior for children and parents and education. So thank you so much for all your effort. God bless. And just let us know how we can support. We'll continue to watch and help you with the signatures and anything else you got going on. So thanks so much today for coming on the American Pulse. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. For me, David exemplifies a grassroots approach to local politics, seeing the obstacles, creating resources to overcome the challenges that we the people face, especially in a globalist stronghold like Washington State. It's important right now to carry a healthy dose of optimism, remember to pray, and together we shall prevail. When I met David in person, the last thing he said to me over his shoulder as we parted was, "We're gonna win." And I agree, and I love his grit and heart and commitment to education and healthy children. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. God bless you and your family, no matter where you're at on the political spectrum. I'm Tony Rizak, and we'll see you next time on The American Pulse.